We wanted to introduce the littlest cowpoke tonight. This is Jeremy. And we also wanted to express our deepest thanks to all of you for your very generous part in our support. I believe this morning it was announced that we were about $180 or so, but since that time, this figure has doubled for our monthly support. And so we are really extremely thankful for that. We wanted also to say that we have tremendously enjoyed getting to know many of you, but many of you also we haven't been able to get to know, and we just hope before tomorrow morning when everybody blasts out that we'll be able to at least say a word and just have a few words that we can exchange and get to know each other a little bit better, if that's possible. But at any rate, we just briefly wanted to say how thankful we were both to the Lord and to you all for this tremendous support. Thank you.
Well, I also want to say how much we've appreciated your being here with us, Lewis and Glenda. And I know that some of these people are going to especially pray for you as they've indicated their support for you. And so if some of you are those who have so indicated, I do hope that this evening you'll just come up and tell them your name so they can associate it with the face and maybe where you're from so that they can be praying for you as you go back to your home and then as they go to Germany. I also appreciate so much the ministry of Dr. and Mrs. Dixon and what they have meant to us this week, the way in which they have communicated to us their love, their concern, their warmth, and I think it's been a special treat. It's not easy sometimes to get a man like this from such a distance and who is so well known and sought after as a speaker. And I trust that the feeling has been reciprocal, as I know he's expressed to me how much he's enjoyed ministering and being with you. And as he comes now and brings us a final word, I think that we should also express to them our love and appreciation. And Bob and Gloria, we've appreciated so much, and also Leslie, your being here. It's been fun to get to know you, and I know that if any of you are ever in Minneapolis, you'll go to Hope Presbyterian and meet these people again. So thank you. Come now and bring to us the word.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, Bob, thank you. I think all of us would admit that it's Bullet Bob who has created a very wonderful atmosphere here this week, and I bet you'd like a chance to show your appreciation to him, wouldn't you? And we all know that behind every good man is a good woman and an amazed mother-in-law. So it's been our joy to know Dee as well. Gloria and I, and Leslie too, have just so enjoyed this week. And we're grateful for all that you have come to mean to us. Just as late as this afternoon, one of you ministered to me in a very real and special way out there on the side lawn. And I just like my brother Stan Clapp to know how much I appreciated his coming over and sharing something out of God's Word with me and praying with me and praying for me. It meant a great deal. And so thank you, Stan. And thanks to all of you who in one way or another have come to bless our lives. You know, Bob Seifert very kindly last Sunday night, hardly seems possible, Bob, it was last Sunday night, Bob said that I had come recommended. And I'd just like you to know he got a letter from my mother and from my wife, and Leslie put in a P.S. So those are the recommendations. I'd like Gordy to know, and Bob, and all of you who have also had a share in teaching, how much you have meant to me. And I've taken a lot of notes, and including your corny joke, Ken, about that TV interview of Bob Seifert. And I've gained a lot, and so has Gloria, and we've just been so grateful that Leslie could also share this. As Bob said, I'm just going to be very brief tonight to just share something that I hope will be of a challenging nature to you. And I guess if I had a title for it, it would be, Are You Curious, Concerned, or Committed? And I don't relate this just to the theme of relationships, having harmonious relationships with the Lord and with oneself and with other members of the body of Christ and with one's marriage partner. But I would relate this to everything that was shared by Bill Schell and Gordy and all of the others, Walt, and our team leaders when we met out under the grass here for the last several days. Are you curious about these things? Are you concerned about them? Or are you going to be committed? Now let me just develop that theme in this way. About 8 years ago, Gloria and Leslie and I had a chance to be at Le Brie with Francis and Edith Schaefer. And we studied there for 2 weeks at the feet of this giant intellect and giant servant of Jesus Christ there in the mountains of Switzerland. And when we were on our way back to the States, we stopped off in Great Britain because, as we were telling Lewis and Glenda and Jeremy, who was all eyes and ears when we were sharing this, what a precocious kid. But we stopped off in London because we had friends in Scotland whom we had come to know and love from having served a church up there in 1963. But when we were in London, it was a Sunday afternoon. And if any of you have ever traveled to that city, you know that there is a place called Hyde Park, H-Y-D-E Park, which is situated in the middle of Greater London. And on a Sunday afternoon, and maybe there are other times, but I think it's only Sunday afternoon, if you have a soapbox or a chair or a table, you can get up and you can expound on any subject under the sun. I mean, anything and everything goes. I have a recollection of hearing a fellow who was tattooed from top to bottom, apparently. He was bald. He had tattoos all over his bald pate, in his face, down his arms. And he was advocating stealing as a way of life. And really, he had gathered around him a little group of people who were listening to this character. There was a fellow advocating world government. There were a couple of Christian groups expounding the gospel. There were a group of people from what was then known as East Pakistan, which later became the nation of Bangladesh, and they had a giant rally, and I'll never forget that. There must have been several thousand of people from East Pakistan, and there was a fellow up on the platform speaking a language with which we were not familiar, but as with one voice, they were responding very positively to what this man was saying. He was issuing a rallying cry to separate from Pakistan and to form this new nation, Bangladesh. And then we saw one little old lady, rather portly girl, I would say, portly being a nice term for stout, heavy set, you know, and she was sitting there in her chair knitting, as I recall, and a group of teenagers gathered around her insisting that she was there to expound something, and really I think the poor gal just came to knit. But they were insisting that she say something, and she got so irate she picked up her umbrella. Everybody carries an umbrella in London for good reason. And she started after them, and it took a couple of English bobbies to maintain control. Now, here's the point of that story. All around these different groups of people were gathered folks like Gloria and Les and me who were either curious about what was being said. Some people had a look of real concern, and that gang from East Pakistan were totally committed. That was obvious from the enthusiasm and the fervor with which they were responding to what that speaker on the platform was having to say. I have found within the body of Jesus Christ a kind of Hyde Park diversity in response to the gospel of Jesus and in response to the kind of discipleship that we've been learning this week here at Glen Eyrie. I have seen some people in the body of Christ who were mildly curious about what was going on. I have seen some who were concerned, and I've been privileged to see a precious few who were really sold out to Christ, totally committed to Him. Back in the book of the Acts, which is, I think, one of the greatest books in all of the Bible, I'm preaching through the book of the Acts back at Hope, and we're going through it verse by verse, chapter by chapter. But the very first 8 verses, I think, are my favorites, because the 8th verse, I think, is the theme verse for the whole book. But the 6th verse is one in which the disciples, having just spent more than 3 years with Jesus before the crucifixion and 40 days with Him following the resurrection, as He instructed them in the fine points of the kingdom, in that 6th verse of Acts 1, they ask an unbelievable question. They say, "Lord, is this the time You're going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Which being interpreted, "Lord, when are You going to get Rome off our backs? When are You going to set up Your kingdom? When am I going to get to be Secretary of the Treasury, Secretary of State?" That's probably James and John are the ambitious ones. Now, to me, what that question suggests is that they were only mildly curious or maybe a little bit concerned about their future. Jesus had been telling them, "My kingdom is not of this world." He had been demonstrating time and time again how that He had come not to change the political scene, but to change the inward heart of man. But they asked this question, which to me reflects the kind of mild curiosity or maybe concern that they had, but no real commitment even at that point. Now, this was previous to the coming of the Spirit in power upon their lives at Pentecost. Now, in the church, I see the same kind of Hyde Park diversity. I see good people. Some of them may be born again. Some of them may not be. Who are mildly curious about all this talk about love and forgiveness and new life and peace and eternal life. And they come to the church and they sit in the pews, or they come to your Bible studies and they sit on your sofa, your divan, whatever you call them in Texas. Settees is what we call them up in Minneapolis. We're way ahead of settee, you know. And they sit there and they're kind of intrigued. They're like people who go to funerals who don't even know the deceased or any member of the family. Do you know there are people like that? I have a mortician friend, a fellow who said he'll never let me down. But I don't believe him. He said they have people who come to just about every funeral they have in their chapel. They don't know the deceased, they don't know the family, but they're intrigued by all the trappings of death, a kind of morbid curiosity, I guess. I think of a priest friend of mine with whom I shared a platform at a college during a seminar. And he told me of a friend of his who was a scholarly man who had a very heavy, erudite kind of subject that he had studied and that he would give on a kind of lecture circuit for intellectuals. It was a very heavy theological thing. And they sat in this auditorium at Aquinas Institute in Dubuque, Iowa, and for a week this scholarly priest expounded on this particular subject, which had a very limited interest. But night after night, there sat a little old lady in the first row, listening, just bearing in on every word this scholar had to say. And Father Moore said he hardly understood some of it. It's like listening to Francis Schaeffer, in a sense, because he's so scholarly too. At the last evening, the scholar priest, having finished his final lecture, went down and he shook the hand of the little lady who had been so faithful. She was the only one who had showed up every night. And he said to her something like this, "Madam, obviously you've made a very serious study of this same subject." She looked at him and she said, "Father, I didn't understand a word you said, but I sure liked the way you said it." You know? And I have a feeling sometimes that there are people in the body of Christ who don't really take the gospel seriously, but they like the sound of the words. You know, it all sounds so cozy and warm and good to them. Now, I think there are more of the second classification. I think there are people who are concerned about the gospel and about the state of the world we live in. I don't see how anybody can turn on the tube or read the newspaper or crack open U.S. News and World Report or Time or Newsweek and not be just a little bit concerned about the kind of world we live in. And I think there are a lot of good people in this category who really care. But they remind me of people who have their spiritual lives in either neutral or park. You know, they're not going anywhere with what they believe. Or to change the picture, they've hung a little sign outside their heart's door that says, "Do not disturb." They're good people. People, many of whom have made a commitment of their lives to Jesus, maybe at a conference like this, or at a young people's conference, and yet they're not going anywhere with what they claim to have committed themselves to. I heard of a young pastor, I don't know whether this is apocryphal or not, but it makes the point, who went to a very prestigious congregation. And this was his maiden voyage. He gave his initial sermon, and it was what we call in the trade a real barn burner. You know what a barn burner is, Bob? That's the best one out of the barrel. And he gave that sermon with all of his heart, and when the congregation went out that morning, they said, "We really picked a winner." They were congratulating themselves on having chosen a man who was as eloquent as he. The next Sunday, Mike, you and Stan and I are going to have to try this sometime, he got up and he preached the exact same message, verbatim, word for word. Well, there were a few gentle rumblings, but they rationalized the thing. They said to each other, "Well, that was a sermon worth repeating." But when on the third and the fourth and the fifth Sundays, the good young brother preached the same sermon, you guessed it. Being a Presbyterian church, they formed a committee. Yes, sir. When in doubt, form a committee. And they chose one dear brother to go and be the spokesman. And he went to him and he said, "Pastor," he said, "that's a great sermon. That's really a great sermon. But Pastor, some of us are a little concerned over the fact that you're preaching the same sermon over and over and over again." And his response reportedly was, "When I see you begin to do something about what I've preached, I'll change my message." And you know, as a preacher, I've been tempted to do that with the good folk at Hope Presbyterian Church. I lack the guts, I guess. You know? But there are times when I want to almost get down on my knees and say, "Please, begin to give evidence, even some small bit of evidence, that what I'm saying, you're doing." What I'm trying to get at is this, my friend. What the Lord needs in the year 1979, in this era which may be a part of the last days spoken of in Scripture. I say may be. Jesus warns us against being precise about this. But I see an awful lot of signs that would indicate it, that we may be in the last days before His return. Jesus doesn't need the mildly curious. You can bet your dollar on that. I don't even think the Lord can use those who are concerned, but whose lives are in park or with the sign, "Do not disturb." He needs men and women who are sold out to Him. I heard of the chicken and the pig that were walking down the road. They saw a restaurant, blue plate special, ham and eggs. And the hen nudged him with her wing. She said, "Let's go in." He looked at that sign again, blue plate special, ham and eggs. He said, "No way, sister. For you, it would be a contribution. For me, it would be total commitment." But that's the name of the game. That's what Christianity is all about. We've been talking about relationships. We've been talking about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. We've been talking about ways to get into the Word of God. We've been talking about a lot of things that have to do with lay ministries. And I believe with all my heart in what Walt said the other day, that the real ministry lies with you men and women. It really does. I'm an enabler. Stan's an enabler. Mike's an enabler. Any other pastor here tonight is an enabler. God brought that home to me back in 1969, that I was not to be the professional Christian for my flock. I'd been laboring under that delusion for a long time. I had the typical pastor syndrome that I felt that everything that was going to happen spiritually had to be run through me. And God set me free from that. The Spirit of God showed me that I had to Set free my lay people for their ministries, because you're where the action is. There are people that you can reach for Jesus Christ that I can't touch with a 10-foot pole. You know why? Because I've got REV in front of my name. And that's like an iron curtain with some people. But that doesn't bother me anymore. If I can motivate my people, if these other pastors can motivate their people, then the ministry goes on and it gets out into the marketplace. But it's only going to get out into the marketplace and into our Jerusalem, our Judea, and our world under the power of the Holy Spirit as you and I are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we're committed to the discipline of getting into the Word of God, as we're committed to prayer life. We haven't talked much about prayer because you can't touch all the bases in one conference, but I believe with all my heart that you've got to be prayer warriors if God's going to use you. We've got to be serious about stewardship, putting first things first with our pocketbooks. I unashamedly challenge our people to give at least the tithe to the Lord's work. I think that's the bare minimum. That was the Jewish bare minimum. Beyond that, you're really giving. I believe, too, that we've got to be committed to the world. I think, first of all, you've got to be committed to Jesus. You've got to be committed to his body, and you've got to be committed to the world. Lewis and Glenda are going out to that part of the world that culturally and language-wise differs from ours. And having been in the third world, I know how tremendous the need is. And both Gloria and I have a great burden to reach out to every race. So that's our mandate. That doesn't come because the preacher says we should. That's the commissioning of our Lord, to go into all the world with the gospel. The fellow who wrote, or who was the president of our seminary at Princeton before his retirement, John A. Mackay, wrote a book entitled Christian Appearance or Reality. Christian Appearance or Reality. And in that book, he told about a pastor years ago who went into a home the day after there had been a death in the family. The husband of the family had died. And in those days, the corpse was prepared and laid out in the parlor or the living room. And the pastor went up with the wife and looked at the corpse, and the pastor said, "Millie, Joe never looked better in his life." And Dr. Mackay said, "That's the way the church often looks. We look so good on the surface with our buildings and our budgets and our programs and our staffs, but we're dead in many respects. We're dead to the real things of Jesus. And I just appeal to you." I don't know how many are here tonight, over 100. If you folks were on fire for Jesus, if you were really into the Word, if you were really into witnessing, if you were really into prayer, if you really have a vision and a burden for the world, God could change your city, and he could change a part of your world. And so I challenge you, dear friend, don't be just mildly curious about the faith. Don't even be just concerned. But be committed. Rise up, O men and women of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Let's be about that business. Let's pray together, please. Our Father in heaven, we can only do these things in the power of your Spirit. We can only follow your marching orders as we know those marching orders in your Word. Our Father, help us to be loyal to you in our family life, in our business life, in our trades, our profession, in our social relationships. May the guy that we fish with or that we bowl with or that we hunt with, may the gal that we copy with know that we have been with Jesus and that he has made a difference in us. And Lord, may we not come on falsely pious. May we not come on with some kind of superficial spirituality, but may Jesus in us be so real that people will be compelled to ask, "Tell me about him." Oh God in heaven, give us that kind of commitment. Convert in our churches and in our fellowship groups those who are just mildly curious or maybe even sincerely concerned. And make them committed together with us, Lord, in order that we may do your will in our time and lead men to him whom to know is life abundant and eternal, even Jesus Christ the Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Dixon. We do indeed take that to heart. What we'd like to do now, in the time remaining, is give you an opportunity to express in a brief word of testimony, and I do mean brief because we do not have time for anything lengthy. Let me suggest not more than 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes at the very most, just what this has meant to you, maybe something that the Lord has done in your life this week that you'd like to share, a verse of Scripture perhaps, but we'd like to invite you to participate now in this time. Now, you can speak right where you are, but you must speak so that you can be heard. If you cannot, then I would invite you to come up here and use the microphone. So we want to be able to hear you in order to share the blessing with you. All right, who would like to be the first one? Yes, Stan, come up here.
This won't take but a minute. And I wanted to be the first, not because I wanted any ego thing, but so that you would still be mindful of Bob and what he's done for me this week that he doesn't even know. For most of you don't know, but I'm a pastor. I tried to keep that a secret because I was on vacation and I didn't want to do anything this week. But those of you who are pastors, and I think of myself as a shepherd more than a pastor, will quickly familiarize yourself with this. About 2 months ago, we had a young couple leave our congregation. It was a young couple that my wife and I had led to the Lord and had nurtured. We'd moved them in next to us, and we'd just raised them in the Lord and loved them with all our heart and soul. And then he got transferred. And it just hurt so bad. And mainly it hurt because they were going into an area that I didn't know anything about. I didn't know what kind of spiritual meat they would get. So I began a prayer war, I guess, that they would find a church that would minister to them, not just be, you know, a place where they attend, but a place where they could work and where they could be a part of an active, growing church. And they've been gone about 3 months. They were back home about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and they still hadn't found that church. They'd been all over the city, and they still hadn't found the place. They just hadn't found a place that was active enough, that was alive enough that they felt good in. But I kept praying. And this is the part that I love. It's how good God is. He hears your prayers. And you see the sequence. I didn't know nothing about navigators, never even heard the word. And my brother John says, "Hey, I know a good place to go. Why don't you go with me?" So I was kind of tired and wanted a vacation. I said, "Okay, I don't know what it is, but I'll go with you because I love you." And I had no idea. That's just one of the chains. So I come down here, and they say, "Who's the preacher?" "Bob Dixon." "Who's that?" "I never heard of Bob Dixon. He's a Presbyterian. What can come out of Presbyterian churches?" You know. And then they say, "Where are you from?" "Minneapolis." No connection yet. But along about the middle of the week, something triggers in my head. Where they sent our beloved two people was St. Paul. St. Paul is a twin city of Minneapolis. And I just feel so good because I'm going home and I'm going to tell those people where he goes to church, and I'm going to get those two together. And just, isn't that nice how the Lord takes care of you? Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Stan. Someone else? Some of you may have questions you want to put to Dr. Dixon. He has volunteered to help me if any of you have any questions. Yes. Okay.
Well, this has been a real special week for us. And we so appreciated the prayers that you raised on behalf of Charlie's son during the week, and I wanted to report on him. We talked with him this evening, and they have found that he does have an ulcer, and that was about the... the least it could be. He was very, very careful. He is a believer, and when he went into this, I'm thinking that the Lord is using this to get their attention. But he was really gripped with fear to the point that he had left instructions with his wife, if he did not come back, exactly what she was to do. And my prayer, and what I would really appreciate more prayer for your behalf, is if you would ask the Lord to use this incident in her life to free her, and that this might be a real turning point. And again, it meant so much to him when we called him and said, you know, be assured there are 100-some-odd people lifting you up to the Lord. So thank you.
Wonderful.
I feel like I need to say a word. This is a real special week for me. As I'm sure everybody knows, we're on our honeymoon this week. This is a place that we met last year. And I praise God for the woman that he gave me. I praise him for the... How he did it. And this week has been special in so many ways because it's been a time of tremendous growth and learning through, and it seems that the Lord just every message stacked on top of the other one and linked in just perfectly. And we serve a great God, and like I said, it's special for a lot of reasons, but mainly because I feel like that now that in all the pressures and all the things that are going around us, I feel confident that through the grace of God and a prayerful wife, I think we can establish a godly home. And that's my one uttermost desire. And I thank each and every one of the people here, the leaders, and especially Dr. Dixon for the tremendous growth and help that they give me.
Appreciate that. Someone else.
I'm so used to following Larry, I better stand up. I am really excited that the culmination of I remember 5, maybe 6 years ago, Pat and I met on a service station parking lot with Charlie and Kay Caseville and shared with them just a portion of our plan or desire to get a couple up here. And the fruits, you know, of that beginning prayer and prayer for, I don't know if you've noticed, there are two families over here that are pretty strong for it, the Crows and the McIvers. And God has just been so abundantly faithful in prayer that, you know, just started from that simple meeting. And we just really appreciate what God has done in both of these families. And boy, it's a real thrill to see, you know, these faces, see what God has done in these two families.
That has been exciting. We've appreciated the Crows and the McIvers, the two beautiful families. You know, I overheard something. They're building a new housing unit up here, and I said, what are they going to call it? And they said, well, we're thinking about calling it the Crow's Nest. But maybe they can put one next to it called McIver's Manors or something like that. But isn't that great to have these families here? All right, someone else, please. Okay, one back here, and then Rick over here.
Being one of the few single persons here, I'd just like to say how encouraging it is to be at this conference and see how God is working in the lives of couples here, and I got to admit, I did not know beforehand that this conference was going to be for couples. I can see how God kind of led us here, and I'm sure he had his purpose for us being at this conference. And it's real encouragement for me to see how God's just working in the lives of husband and wife, and how they're using God's word to raise their family. Christian families. It's really encouraging. just makes me kind of look forward to the future and, you know, what God will provide for me in my life.
Thank you. And let me add that this conference was calculated to have singles like you here. And many of you couples have ministered, I'm sure, by your walk and your love for one another, your dedication to these young single men and women who are here so that they can see a model of a couple who are dedicated. So I'm sure the Lord brought you here for many reasons. Thank you. Rick?
Yeah, after Ronnie standing up, I have to say a word. It's a real blessing for our family, and I'm sure the Crows, to have people like Pat and Ron and Charlie and Kay and many others who were real prayer warriors and really dedicated to God's faithfulness. And we're just all thankful to them and to everyone.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that. Some of you are looking at one another like you're signaling who's going to go first. Is that? We have plenty of time now. Oh, I'm sorry. I see the hand there. Okay.
Okay, well, I've gotten a lot out of this conference all in all. And, if I had to pick one thing that I really like, this term, you know, used by young people today called blown away. I was just really blown away about the patient's messages.
I'm sure that has a good connotation. Thank you for that, Warren. Yes, please.
I'd like to just publicly acknowledge some people that are here, and there are some people back home that aren't here, because it's really demonstrates Christian love. Cindy and I work in a real small church in Stillwater, and Paula Reinhart started talking to Cindy about 3 months ago, maybe it was 4 months ago, asking her where we were going to spend our vacation this summer. Frankly, we hadn't thought about vacation because we didn't have money to take vacation, and so all of a sudden, about 2 months ago, they dropped on us that they had, behind our backs, written a bunch of people that collected a bunch of money to send us up here for this week. And so, from the gang of Stillwater, thanks. It's been a really meaningful week for us. We've needed it. It's our first vacation in 2 years. And it's given us a chance to get our thoughts together, to evaluate the year past, and to set our goals for the next couple of years. And it's been really, really a blessing. Like everybody else has said, the messages have really dovetailed. And I'll steal Mike Fike's thunder. He said something yesterday that was really funny. He said, every conference that he's been to, he's always got the feeling that the messages were directed at him, and he's always wondering, well, why are all the rest of you?
Thank you. Dale?
Well, I just wanted to say how thankful I am for this conference and just what it's meant to me. I've done a lot of growing since I've arrived here, and I'm just here to glorify the Lord. And that means a lot to me. I'm like Mike. I'm just blown away.
Okay. I'm looking. Okay.
A year ago, I stood right here at this very spot. And I told you about my cancer and that I was ready to meet the Lord. And I'm still ready to meet the Lord. But God gave me a promise when we discovered the cancer of the liver. And it says, I shall not die, but live and tell the works of the Lord. He has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. And so that's why I'm standing here tonight, is to tell you of the works of the Lord. A year ago, as we ended the conference, Brenda Van Amberg asked each of you to pray for me. And there was special prayer that night. I want you to know that God answered it. And the cancer is gone. And I just want you to praise him this whole year. Thank you.
Thank you, Myrna. God does answer prayer, doesn't he? And I think that would be a good commitment, just to keep her in your prayers this next year and to thank and praise him. They're having a tremendous ministry up there in Oklahoma. So God has plans for them. Someone else. Okay. Sometimes just a tiny verse of scripture God can use. Isn't that amazing, Mom? The way you never know what God is going to use. It might be that something that has been said has meant something to you. And we would sure like to have you share that, even if it's very brief. Maybe you just like to read a verse of scripture. You don't want to comment on it, but you just want to quote it or read it to us and let the Holy Spirit use that in our hearts. Someone else. Yes, Mike. Wonderful. Two of the girls up at Eagle Lake have received Christ so far. That's great. Anyone else? Yes, please.
Remember the other night we asked for prayer for Ralph Bartell?
Right.
Well, he's had his surgery. We've told a few of them, but I think the whole conference would be interested in knowing that he came through it just fine and he's doing real well. Earl talked to his niece this morning. So we're very thankful for the prayers, and please continue.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. This was the nephew, was it, that had had bypass surgery? Right. Wonderful. Just another indication how much we need one another. Gordon?
Yeah, I need y'all. I think some of you know, but a good number of you probably don't, that this is my last conference up here as a navigator. Effective the 1st of September, I will be resigning from the Navigators, and my wife and I are opening a counseling and consulting service in Fort Worth. And after being 10 years with the Navigators, it's kind of scary to leave. You know what I mean? And I would appreciate your prayers, as Brenda would, as we launch out on this new venture. I got word from my wife this afternoon that the gentleman who was going to help supply us the office furniture is shaking in his boots. So it looks like that is a provision that we thought we had that we don't have. So if you all would think of it, we appreciate your prayers to take the Chiefs from the Navigators to our counseling agency and so we can get on with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Gordon. We are going to miss Gordon. Actually, I kind of leaned on him for this conference. His stalwart ability and his experience in directing previous conferences. And I'm going to be shaking because I won't have you. Well, I guess I could come over and sign up for your counseling. And we will be praying. And I think later on when we have prayer, we'll be remembering you. And some of you know Charles and Kay Casebolt will also be going into primarily a church ministry with their church there in Austin. We still feel like these two couples are still associated with us because they're going to carry on the ministry. But they'll be doing more specifically and a more detailed ministry in their locality. All right, any others? Oh, okay, Mike?
Well, after Gordon getting up and saying that, I just want to get up and say how much the entire Navigator organization means to me and to our family. This conference and all the other conferences that we've been to. Bob, I appreciate what you said last night and the way you honored your wife and expressed your love towards her. And I want to do the same tonight towards my wife publicly and tell you all how much these conferences have meant to our marriage through the years. This is the fifth conference that we've attended in the last 6 years. And by missing last year, was the first time that we've missed in the last 6 years, we really knew how much we needed it and how much we did miss it. Through the years, we've come to be better acquainted with some of the Navigators. Gordon and Brenda have been over to Dallas and have participated in some of our church activities and ministering to our many church that we look after. Bob is in our home almost every Saturday morning with a Bible study we have for the men in the neighborhood. Charlie Casebolt was in our church this last year attending the pastor's conference. And you know, he just ministered to us so much through the years. And each year, our marriage just grows that much closer as a result of what happens here and the way you all minister to us. We appreciate it very much. And then after hearing Mike Fife talk about what happens up at Eagle Lake, I've said this to some of you, but I just really can't say it enough, how much we praise the Lord for Eagle Lake and the ministry to the kids up there. We have two daughters. Both of them are up there right now. They're fortunate to be participating in the ministry themselves by serving as assistant counselors. One of them has been up there 6 years and the other 5 years, but it has meant so much to them and their spiritual maturity. And you know, and they say, you know, they appreciate what we provide for them, what their mother provides for them, what the church provides for them. But you know, they tell us that the single thing that has meant the most to their spiritual maturity has been the time that they have spent at Eagle Lake, being ministered to themselves by other kids that are their age and knowing how much they love the Lord. So you know, I just can't say enough for them. How much the entire organization, all these conferences, the time that our kids spend every day, is really meant to our family. We just praise the Lord for it.
Thank you, Mike. Some of you I can't see behind the post, so if you raise your hand, just stand up and start talking. Yes, please.
Well, I'll mention one thing real quick. I'd say my wife and I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a navigator couple that decided to invest time and themselves in our lives. And it really took a couple of years, a couple of 3 or 4 years away from this couple before we saw in our lives what that really meant. And this is the thing about the navigators that has impressed me, is that they're willing to sacrifice time and arrange their priorities such that, you know, they can direct you in your life toward a walk with God. And this is the thing that's excited me this week too, is, you know, my vision's expanded beyond, you know, this one person's investment in my time, because I've seen there's more and more and more people in Texas and Oklahoma that are doing the same kind of things. Even when you get the nav log, you really don't appreciate it, the concept, until you see people who are actively involved in investing their life in the lives of others, building those basics, the quiet time, the scripture memory, the walk with God. And I think more than anything, this week, this is what has challenged me. And I'm just, you know, I'm fearful, because I know I've been to conferences and I've been to retreats before, and you'll get high as a kite and then you're 2 weeks, you're down again. But I really would like to be able to take the tools that we've learned from Bill Shipp and really get them to work in my life, to where I'm learning things that I can transfer on to guys and gals that we have chosen to work with, that God has led into our lives. And that's the thing, you know, the navigators are always make a specific application. The application is to get with it in specific things, you know. Like, make myself get up and have a specific, you know, consistent quiet time. And I wrote that down in that thing this morning. I want to have, like somebody said in that 2-7, 14 consecutive days. Review the things that I've learned that I just kind of slipped back, you know, and just, I have the attitude of just taking things as they come, you know, and God opens the door, you know, that's great. If not, you know, you just slide along. But just really taking the things that we've learned and really making them count, you know, and laying, like Hebrews 12:2, laying aside those things that distract you, that tie you down, and like Dr. Dixon said today, get serious, commit yourself to these specific things. My wife and I have started a couples Bible study, and we've got some couples that God has just, you know, in a supernatural way brought into our lives. And our goal for the summer, you know, our schedule was to really build relationships with these guys and girls. And now I can see even more what can happen in their lives, because I see it happening in the lives around here, the tigers and the crows. And, you know, this has been a real challenge and a stimulus in that respect. And I'm just praying that, you know, that God would just help me remember those things that I write down. And I won't put my book back up there with the Bill Gothard book. And that's what I'd say. It's just, you know, the commitment to Jesus Christ, to be stubbled out, to lay things aside, and really get with it.
Thank you. That's a good word of exhortation, isn't it? You know, most of you will go out of here about 6 inches off the ground, and when you get home, you'll bump your head and you'll drop down to where your feet touch the floor, and you'll be back to reality. But what this brother has said, if you'll just pick up your Bible and say, "Now, Lord, you're still here. I'm back here, the old nitty-gritty, and I want to do those things that I have made a commitment to do," he'll help you. And I think you said it very well. I appreciate that. Yes, Millie?
I jotted down just a few notes because, of course, as you probably all know, my mother's heart is completely full.
Would you like to use a microphone, Millie?
Can you hear me?
Okay, fine.
And I think you know what a special time it has been for me and for our household. And I think of Charlie Casebolt in his workshop. He defined the household as your family, your immediate family, your relatives, your friends, and your associates. And so my thanks goes out to our 3 sons, our 3 daughters in love, and to all of our Amarillo friends, to the friends that we've made up here through the years, and to all of our brand new friends. And that also I think, as I ponder the great this great blessing that has been bestowed on us, how there would be an opportunity for envy. I know that Christians don't envy, but I want you to know that our trials and tribulations and even a little walking through the fire has not been much different than yours. And that with God's grace and through His Word and through His promises, we've come through. And that there will always be places to mend and there will always be new little trials to face. But we know we can do it with the Lord. And we thank the navigators. We thank all of our leaders that have been so wonderful to us through the years in the Navigator Corps. We thank, of course, Dr. Dixon and his precious wife and daughter. And we thank all those who have witnessed to us and our family will just grow and abound in it. And I want you to know that you have the same promises that the Lord has given us. And that our prayer for you this coming year will be that each family represented that we can lift up to the Lord and that your dreams, your prayers for them will all come true. Thank you.
Thank you, Millie. Appreciate that so much, Millie. We've certainly come to love you and hope you keep coming back. Yes, please. Betsy?
I have to get permission, first of all. This is an example of the lay ministry that's been going on in the group. I guess while the staff has been telling us about lay ministry, it's actually been happening. On Monday or Tuesday of this week, I was talking to Millie and mentioned God's been dealing in my life with the relationship with my mother-in-law. And at the time the bell rang, well, she went her way, I went my way. I don't even know why I even brought it up. It just sort of entered into our conversation. Well, last night we were eating dinner, and Millie said, Betsy, God's been telling me something that I need to share with you about your mother-in-law. Oh, all ears when somebody tells you that. I said, great, let's go talk right now. I wasn't going to delay a moment. And the whole time when she told me that, I thought, oh, great, she's got three daughters in love, as she calls it. She's going to give me some insight from the mother-in-law viewpoint. That's not what God was telling her to tell me. She has a relationship with her mother-in-law. And I cannot tell you how exciting it was for us to visit and for Millie to share insight with me. It was just so scriptural. Older women, she'll teach me than I am. But little did I realize that she has traveled some of the same steps I have. And praise God that He sent her to me, because maybe we can get ours mended a little bit earlier than she did.
Thank you.
I think we ought to have the Kroll family stand up, because if it can work for them, it can work for anybody. Mama Kroll, why don't you stand up there, girl?
Stan and Millie.
We're short ones set.
Where are they?
Well, they're down in New Mexico.
Well, they went to our other in-laws in love.
How about the short crows there? Okay, look at that. It's a big work for that family.
That's great. Okay, anyone else? I certainly don't want anyone to go out of here and say, oh, Lord, why didn't I obey you? You know? If you've got something that the Lord has put on your heart and you want to share it, I want to give you every opportunity. Now, we have to keep moving along here, so don't wait for someone else to go ahead of you. You just be the next one. Why, certainly.
I didn't realize that my coming here this year was, an indirect answer to prayer that Ron was talking about. But it has been, and the Lord has really blessed Neil and I this past year with especially Rick and Rita and with Skip and Jane Crow. And we just really thank them both for sharing with us the growth that they've been making. And we thank their families. The Crows really extended an awful lot of hospitality to us on the way up this year. And we thank the MacIvers for adopting us this week. They kind of taking us in. But we are really excited about the growth that we've done this past year, especially the growth we've done this week. And we're really looking forward to the year to come. And we thank all the Navigator staff that's worked here this year to really help us grow a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. You've really blessed us, too, I should say. See, really, a lot of you have had a ministry with one another that some of us don't know about, so unless you share it, we're not going to get in on that blessing. But obviously, God is at work in our midst in ways that, you know, you really can't plan or schedule. He just does it. And that's why He's given us this place and why He's brought you here. You're here by divine appointment, I believe. And so obviously, He has had His purposes. Okay, I'm just going to give a few more minutes, and then we're going to bring this to a close. Again, let me say that we have purposely designed this to be a community's conference, so that people who come next year, we are planning again to make it a Western Communities Conference. So we want singles here also. And it might be you have a relative, a friend, a son, or a daughter. And so we of course, love to have the couples here, but we like the singles to feel they're just as welcome. And probably as the years go by, we will, with your suggestions, and we appreciate, by the way, those evaluations, we have looked those over. You know, already have in mind some changes we're going to make to constantly improve. But I hope you'll keep that in mind as you pray. And as you consider this place, and some of you, as you register, some of you might already know what your plans are for next summer, and so can pre-register with the conference office. They are going to be open this evening, as will the book room, if any of you want to make any last purchases there of the tapes. And as David mentioned, the tape of Dr. Dixon's message will also be available. It might, I don't know how long it takes them to duplicate it, but they have set this up so that you can get all of these before you leave. Okay, anyone else now? Okay, Skipper?
I get to represent a bunch of people with something we all want to share with you, and it's a spiritual song. It's a Sing Hallelujah chorus. And I'm going to need help. I'm still suffering from cold cucumber soup. So. Hey, Beamans and Tanners, come over here. And Kay. And Pierce's. And Rick and Dummy Duddy. Humphrey's Gary.
Do you want this microphone? Or?
Yeah, please. No.
Okay, we'll probably just move one thing.
This is a spiritual song that said that it meant a great deal to some of us that heard it. Lots of may have heard it too. It's easy to learn. You need to get some girls.
Y'all come on up.
Y'all stand out. The deal is, if we have found that it's particularly uplifting to us, at the same time, very humbling, and we have...